Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the April 25 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, Garrett Toy of First Choice Commodities. He's in Stockton, Illinois. Mike Susilo joins us from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. And Greg Ginder is here from FC Stone in Chesterfield, Missouri. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Greg Ginder, let's start with you and get your list of items that we should discuss for the day.
Right. One of the things that I've been watching here this week, and I think that's going to be interesting for next week, is how much planting progress we're going to see on Monday. And if it even makes a difference at this point, if it's too early, are we late? Are we too late? Just kind of an opening question just to see where everybody's at.
Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing.
Yeah, I would add to that, this massive fund selling. Where does that end? When does that end? I would second that thought on whether, if and when it will ever matter. And, what's the next step here over the next 70, 80 days into the growing season?
Garrett Toy from First Choice Commodities, items you'd like to be questioned for the day.
Well, obviously, we're looking at the weather here, but I also think we need to kind of look at the demand structure here of this market as we push these new lows in the month of April and where we're at on exports, the impacts of the South American crops, more so corn potentially than soybeans at this point, because I think a lot of us already know where the bean market stands. But I think that's taking a look at new crop export books and where we're at from this point forward.
And Mike Zuzalo, what did we leave for you?
Just the soybeans, I think, carrying a premium. And why would that be that they're carrying a premium still against the corn, Todd?
Okay, so let's start there. Why do you think that is the case?
Well, I think it goes back to, quite frankly, I think there's less political and trade pressure that the trade sees in the soy complex than in the feed grain complex. And a lot of this goes back to USDA's acreage base that they gave us at the end of March that really changed the cosmetics of the market. And I think the EPA ethanol policy has really kept the corn participating in the wheat-led break to the downside. And I think these two things, along with soybeans tending to be structurally more sound to be long in when the stock market's going up because they tend to be more of a deflationary market, they seem to me to have been able to escape until just this past week or so. The African swine fever fears of lost demand, and also the fact that we're running, close to 50% harvested in some of the South American soybean fields at this stage of the game. And it's just now starting to, I think, dawn on the trade that these things are out there. And that's what's helped keep the soybeans at a 2.37 premium, relatively high compared to what we're used to seeing when you've got 900 million bushels of old crop beans staring you in the face and corn planting delays.
You're talking about the SREs, the small refinery exemptions and biodiesel?
No, I think neither. I'm talking more about the E15. I think the E15 and the expectations of the EPA doing something for ethanol instead of big oil was high 4 or 5 months ago. I guess it goes back to the principle of economics would suggest that cheap corn and strong unleaded gasoline demand and margins that are coming back around to where ethanol's almost 80 cents discount to RBOB gas should equal better margins in ethanol, and we're just not seeing it. So I think the economic model has been broken mainly because of the market sentiment that we're just not going to move the ethanol. Part of this due to the old NAFTA, part of this I think due to the EPA not moving as they promised to move, and the trade reacting very quickly.
So the E15 not going to happen this summer, in your opinion?
Well, they're not giving us that indication right now, and we're 1 month away from summer, and that's, we've been talking about it for 4 months.
Speaking about being 1 month away from summer, they're pretty close to that, and we're starting to get pretty far, Greg Ginder, through the beginning of the planting season, with very few planters rolling across the Corn Belt. What do you think planting progress will look like on Monday?
Well, last year, For this Monday, we were sitting at 17%. So I would, the over-under has been all week of, are we going to be over or under 17%? Majority of those believe that we'll probably be somewhere closer to 12 to 15%. There just hasn't been much opportunity for a lot of guys to get very much of anything done. They get started for a day or two, and then they get rained out for a day or two. So this will be probably by far the best week that we've had so far this year as far as planting goes. There's been a few windows that have opened up in Illinois and southern Iowa, Missouri, and there's been quite a bit done in those windows, field work, fertilizer application. But with everything that we had to do, we'll still need a pretty large window to get what I would consider a good bit of this crop in the ground.
It takes about 14 actual open days, not 14 days, but real open days to get the crop planted across the United States, corn crop, that is. When we get to next week, we'll be right at the 1st of May or very close to it. If the weather forecast, Greg, still says rainfall, will the marketplace stand up and pay attention?
Well, I sure think so. I was a little skeptical that we would see much activity this week just because it's still just right on the verge of the opening season for planting for many of these corn-producing states. So, yeah, I think depending on what number we get on Monday, if it's below 17, I believe it's friendly. If it's below 12, I believe it's really friendly. So those are the numbers, kind of the benchmarks that I'm looking for to see some sort of rally that we might, or short covering that we might have next week.
Chip Nellinger, would you agree with that? And then maybe you can roll into that the fund selling that we have been watching in the marketplace.
Yeah, I personally think that the market doesn't care right now. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter, but the market doesn't care. I think probably till about the 13th, it'd be the second Monday in May, when we see that planting progress. If we're still well behind the pace then I think it matters. The funds just don't seem to care right now. They don't trade logically, like human nature, like everyone probably on this program thinks. They trade with math, and they follow the trend, and they keep selling it until their computer model or a moving average or something tells them to get out. So I don't think the planting pace matters dramatically until you get to about mid-May. If we're still behind, the issue is, talk to several producers. Talked to a producer yesterday, can plant 500 acres of corn in a day. A 4,000 acre farmer, doesn't take very long. Another 48 row, high speed, 700 acres in a day. That's why the market doesn't seem to get too worked up about planting delays. I think they're sick to death about talking about planting delays in years past. They're sick to death about talking about the trade issues and the trade war. And every fund and spec is just going to sell every bounce until they're proven wrong, and that hasn't happened yet.
I want to follow up on something you said. You said the market doesn't trade logically, but let me flip that around and say that the computers trade logically, but the market psychology isn't like it used to be. That might be a real problem for lots over time as more AI and computer-generated trading goes on, I would think, Chip.
Yeah, it the fundamentals don't matter in the short run. They will in the long run. I give an example. I think the hog market recently is a great example of this, right? We knew about the African swine fever issues for months and months and months, and there was talk between 20 and 40% of the Chinese swine herd destroyed. Didn't matter. Every rally got sold. We went into new lows. It was like, is it ever going to matter? Then all of a sudden, there was really no spark. It wasn't like it was fresh news or new news. Just one day it mattered. And then hogs rallied $20 straight up. So this will all matter if the planting delays continue, if demand picks up, if there's a Chinese agreement. Those are big ifs. So it will matter. It is hard. It is a bit of a change. And price is never wrong, right? We might think, well, we should be higher because of planting delays. We should be higher because of demand. Whatever the reasons are, we're not higher. We just set contract lows again earlier this morning, and the funds have nearly a 400,000 contract short position in corn, and they're right now. So price is right, whether we logically think that or not.
Hey, Garrett Toy from First Choice Commodities. A couple of things. First, because this is your first time in the program, tell me a little bit about yourself and your business.
Sure. I'm part owner of First Choice Commodities, and I also operate Ag Trader Talk. We're a research and advisory service with clients on every continent. Born and raised in Northwest Illinois. Spent about 10 years in Des Moines, Iowa. Prior to that, about 5 years working for large FCM there in Champaign. So I got the opportunity to move back to Northwest Illinois, where I was born and raised, and doing a little farming up here and operating our book. So
let's talk about one of the things you listed, and I think it goes along with the discussion we've had so far. This is about the demand structure, new lows, as Chip just told us about, in the month of April for corn, and the idea that, well, we've had a 2 billion bushel carryout before. Why would it be different this time around?
I think what you're seeing, you know, I know that Chip mentioned that fundamentals don't matter or matter longer, more in the long run. You know, I think a lot of it still boils down to South America. And we haven't had, you know, it looks like the South American corn crop is getting bigger. You know, the real is trading four. And that, we had an about face from last year where they had a drought and we had a strong export program in the first quarter. I think when you look at the export book and the first new crop export book in corn, it's drawing an analog to 2015. You know, you look at, you know, just as of today, week 33, unshipped corn exports versus the new crop book, you have 14 million metric ton there. That's the smallest that we've had since the drought 2012, when it was only 7.1 million metric ton. The last year that was the smallest, 2015-16, when we were 14.75. In the first quarter of 2015-16 marketing year, we only exported 301 million bushel of corn, and that was the record small outside of the drought. You look at this April, we're, you know, as of, you know, 3:48 spot futures, we're down 8.5 cents on the month. It's the worst April since 2015, when we were down 13.75 cents on the month. So I think, you know, the funds are looking at the South American crop, the impacts of the trade war, where, you know, the profitability in soybeans are so bad that, you know, they, you know, it's not so much the board price as much as the cash price on farm, that they're looking at, you know, there really isn't much option for corn, from a producer standpoint, to plant corn rather than beans. So, you know, as long as we can get the crop in, that's what they're looking at. I think, and I'd also be a little bit cautious to necessarily, you know, blame, you know, this last 10-cent move perhaps in corn necessarily on the funds, because the merchandisers, you know, I've talked to this week have said that there's been a ton of pricing of basis contracts, stuff that they kind of thrown in the towel. You know, that that some of these cash contracts are, you know, maybe putting a two on the front of them, that I think some of this is pricing of DP bushels and basis contracts. We get option expiration off the board. We get first notice day behind us. You know, things may look a little different here.
So, Mike Zuzlow, Garrett just made a couple of arguments. One, that there was a lot of, well, not quite movement in the corn market, but that there was. And the other one, the first one, is that the marginal bushel that's moving into the export market is coming out of South America for corn rather than out of the United States. At least that's what I think he told me. Mm-hmm. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I still think the commitments, though, Todd, are strong enough at, you know, 12 to 14% ahead of the pace last year. that we have the shot and the trajectory right now as of the weekly export sales this morning to at least meet last year's number, even though USDA suggests we're going to be about 300 million bushels below that. And I know that is something that I'm definitely out there on a long plank suggesting, and very few people are suggesting the same thing. And the reason I'm suggesting is because this price break only encourages more corn demand. And I took note and I took solace in the idea that today the sorghum export sales were about 40% above the four-week average, with China being by far our number one buyer. And so I think that the demand, export demand argument against corn, in my opinion, and I don't use this saying very often, but I don't think that dog hunts anymore because we've traded that. And kind of like what Garrett's talking about with the cash, I actually feel like the cash marketing, the CCC loans coming due, and as he said, the DP basis, that was a big deal in the last, 10, 12 days. So I feel like that's even more important than the export issue. And I think it goes back to, why is spring wheat the leader to the downside? We've lost 13% in spring wheat, 10% in soft red, 12% in hard red. Clearly, spring wheat has been the leader to the downside in this market ever since the acreage and stocks report. So I would say it's because of the acreage and stocks report. And it's also because, and this is where going back to Chip's point about the funds buying and selling, this is a real issue on food security. This is a real issue that I think USDA is going to have to get step it up in terms of a duty to staying ahead of the market with AI. And I say that because they elected not to go ahead and resurvey the lost bushels potentials from the Missouri River flooding and the bins that we may have lost in the Missouri River flooding, saying, oh, we're just going to wait till the end of June. That is that is music to the fund traders' ears that's short, because you don't have any government or hard data to come in to shake you out of the tree and shake you out of your position.
Greg Ginder, I want to come to you now and talk about this demand structure still, but because you're on the river system, can you tell me what the export market looks like from the St. Louis view?
Sure. Yeah, just kind of from a broad view, we've got roughly about 19 weeks left in this crop year for corn and beans. And so far, by what we've seen week to week, the average that we need to accumulate per week on corn needs to be about 27 million sales. Soybeans needs to be closer to about 12. And those are both very doable numbers by the averages that we've seen so far over the year. So to say that we'll probably find at the end that the USDA's numbers will probably be pretty close. There may be a little over, a little under, but I think generally speaking, they're going to be pretty close. As far as just general exports go, this $97, $98 is not doing us any favors. And we could probably use that to be a little bit closer to 92, 93 to try to, spur a little bit of a business away from South America. But, South America is not having an easy go with their currencies either. I mean, the Argentine currency has been having its problems. So right now, at least in the short run, they're one of the more attractive grain exporters in the world because their currency is so weak. The real has also been fairly weak, so it's been more advantageous and more interesting for global buyers. I think that's probably one of our biggest hurdles that we have to get over, fundamentals and all. When they go putting together these tenders, the dollar just takes away all the competitive advantage that we might have. As far as the St. Louis River goes, we have some extremely high water gauges, which is creating a big backlog on logistics and things like that. It seems like every time we get out of a high water area or a high risk region, we find another one. So there is some complications that go along with domestic river logistics. But for right now, basis has been holding in good. Barge freight hasn't been overly expensive. So we've seen relatively good or relatively flat basis levels or better basis levels in some areas.
Chip Nallinger, the marketplace this week has felt extraordinarily heavy. Is there reason to think that we will drift lower?
Well, potentially. I just go back, and we did a little bit of a study here. This isn't highly scientific, We went back the last 12 of the last 14 first notice days for corn, marked fairly heavy selling into first notice day, and then a fairly significant bounce, with some of those bounces being a couple of the largest rallies that we've seen in the last 2 years. So I think a lot of this is stated earlier. The heavy fund selling recently, farmer liquidation of basis contracts, not being competitive because of some currency issues in South America. I think it's all kind of coming to a head. And I think, especially in the case of corn, the funds have a massive short position. They probably have a little bit of firepower left, but all we need is a spark. We saw it again. I go back to hogs, and I'm not saying corn's going to rally $2 in the next 2 months, but I'm just saying these specs and the funds have so much money, they push us to such extremes. And then when there is a fundamental issue that sparks the other direction, the necessity for the market to move in the other direction, you get these massive swings against what the normal trend has been. So, yeah, we could slop around here a little bit, but you have the entire growing season ahead of us, and 85 to 90, let's call it coming Monday, 80%, 85% of the crop left to plant. And so my point is there's a tremendous amount of risk going forward, and these lower prices are likely stimulating some better demand. So I don't know. I think you're going to see an increase in volatility going into the growing season. But for the short run, the next week or two, you could sure drift around and slop around sideways to lower.
Okay, so I want to pull all of you, and I'll start with you, Garrett, on this question. It's on old crop, ignoring, I suppose, what you or maybe not, what you've told us about what's been happening, at least in the last week, as it relates to the basis contracts. For those producers who have old crop corn yet to sell, they're going to go to the field. They're not going to move it. What do they need to think about between now and July 31?
Well, I think that what they need to realize is you know, whether or not the stocks report was an anomaly, given the surprise, it still showed that, for the most part, there's still a lot of ownership out there that needs to move. If they have unsold bushels left out here, a lot of basis contracts, you look at the trade for the last 3 months, everyone's been talking basis contracts, which was the right move to do because basis was so strong because no one was moving anything. but it's been the double-edged sword when the flat price broke down. The carries are wide enough out here. Essentially what the board is telling you to do, given the weakness of all the strong cash, is to sell grain and to buy it back on the board via some sort of option strategy. Even for producers who are sitting here making a decision in the next 3 to 4 days ahead of first notice day on basis contracts, we traded the May July corn spread to 9¾ cents out here today. Rolling basis contracts, you're just digging your deeper hole. If you're only looking for 30, 60 days, you might be able to find a cheaper strategy on an option rather than rolling that basis contract one more time.
Mike Zuzulo?
I would say that the old crop, the best thing to do for both old crop and new crop would be utilize rallies to sell the beans. I still think there's a significant premium in the beans. Part of the reason that the soybeans are fighting the African swine fever is because the USDA Ag Attaché in Beijing says we're not going to lose that much demand, that poultry and complex feed is going to help support the demand out of China. And I look at that and think that's great. I hope it does, because if I'm quote unquote wrong by hedging rallies and soybeans, 20 to 25 cent rallies, or trying to buy a November $9 bean put for 20 to 25 cents. If I do something like that and I feel like that I've made the mistake, then probably the whole market has bottomed, and I think I can make that revenue per acre up on my corn and a better price on corn sales. I would not recommend any corn sales at this stage, especially ahead of first notice day, and I'd probably like to go all the way into the May report and see what USDA has for 1920. Ending stocks figures and see if that hasn't already been priced into the market. My elasticity model would say at 345 corn, we're close to a 2.5 billion bushel carryover priced in to lead month futures. And at 850 lead month beans, we're probably close to 950 on carryover figures. So I don't think there's a lot of premium in this market to sell, especially when it comes to the to the market before the crop report in May.
Greg Ginder.
Just to highlight a few things here. I mean, we've all seen that these markets have been taking it tough. Specifically, corn for the last five trading days has somehow added about 100,000 extra shorts, which has been one of the fastest accumulations of a short position that I've seen in a very long time. But, you know, the corn may have today, may have actually dead cat bounced or either turned a corner. Only tomorrow will tell. So I'm like Mike, I'm not in a big hurry to do a whole lot of selling here at this point. You know, if a guy's 20 or 25% unsold, I think I'd wait a little bit. One of the, just to go around the horn here, I mean, beans does have a decent story. When you look at soybean meal, we haven't really been able to crack 300 a ton soybean meal. And so that does offer some, at least some glimmer of hope, some ray of sunshine that, you know, bean processors are not having a problem sourcing beans. They're not having a problem finding markets for their meal. There isn't a big meal problem. There isn't a big meal story. Normally we get meal rallies somewhere in between January and this time of the year, which we haven't had, I think, which has been mostly subdued due to the tariff and the fear of beans in general. So I think there is some sort of support that should come from that. The on the wheat side of things, July wheat, on a chart, at least today, appears that it is double bottomed at 435 and has come out of it with some pretty good flare. So maybe the technicals there have started to turn. Maybe the machines have decided that they're not going to sell wheat down another 50 cents. So, I mean, even though in the short run markets do look like they are still very weak, I think there's some signals here. There's some signs here that there is some life.
Greg, I agree completely with on the meal story or on the meal comment with you, Greg. I mean, you look at that, you know, that first sell off there on what, Tuesday, we got down to $300 the first time on meal, and you saw a huge snapback in the spreads, and it's that the meal price or the beans outpriced the meal on the downside, and I think that's the biggest struggle per Mike's point. Why the bean premium is there is that the products are somewhat supporting things for some reason near term, whether it's a value play in meal or you know domestic biodiesel consumption, and what USDA is telling us how strong it is in bean oil.
Chip Nellinger, old crop corn.
Old crop corn. I think that as far as old crop corn goes, we have to be prepared to sell rallies. I wouldn't panic here into this liquidation. You have the whole growing season ahead of us, but you have to be willing to sell rallies. I think going around the horn, though, Mike made a good point that I fully agree with, and something that we've been trying to do for the last 2 years. I think that there's too many beans in the world. I think the hog issue in China really is going to put a damper, already has, and will continue to put a damper on meal usage there. On rallies, I'd rather be more aggressive in protecting beans and hope I'm wrong, because if I'm wrong, corn is screaming higher. And I think corn can scream higher if there's any hint of a weather or production issue in the next 3 months. It could also scream higher if there's any type of a final China trade agreement that includes a large amount of corn, DDGs, and ethanol. And I think an important thing also is it's psychologically hard. I can sense it in producers. I can sense it in myself as I watch the market this week. It's depressing. It is dejecting. Here's the issue, though. You have to almost take a step back to gain a competitive advantage. What it's doing is psychologically forcing. It's almost forcing everybody into the same path of the first nice rally. We're going to have this sense of relief and sell. And there's a real risk that you sell early, because if and when the funds want out of a, just call it a 400,000 contract position, and they might want to go long then, potentially down the road, this thing could rally a lot further than you ever expect. If it's coinciding with strong Chinese demand or a weather problem, everybody's going to be sold out too early because of the of the stress of this last move, and the market could eventually go a lot higher than you ever think. I'm not advocating holding for higher. There's ways you can build this into your market plan with options or lots of different strategies, but you have to have a plan is my point, or you're going to be psychologically hamstrung.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may hear the whole of our program in its entirety online at willag.org on demand. Our panelists this week for the program included Greg Ginder of FC Stone out of Chesterfield, Missouri, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing in Morton, Illinois, Garrett Toy of First Choice Commodities out of Stockton, Illinois, and Mike Zuzolo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.